podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
I'm Sam Keir, host of Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. For the past 12 months, I've been talking to T20 star David Visa, getting his take from behind the scenes at the IPL, the 100 and the rest of the world's biggest leagues.
That's the Tony Review system, Diogo. There's no ways in my mind that was up.
These guys don't know how to win at this stage.
He had his driver pick him up in his Bentley.
People start chanting your name. You kind of have to pinch yourself.
Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. Listen now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sport Social.
It is the Anfield Wrap on Radio City Talk. Neil Atkinson, Sean Rogers and Ben Johnson with you until 7:30. And this is, it's a nice opportunity really that this has come round in February, this weekend without a game. We've not gone to La Manga, but what we're going to do is have a chat about what we know happened last year to a certain extent. And what we sort of know, Sean, from reading the runes, from the noises that were made, from what went on, is that it was around February in 2016 when Liverpool began to enact their plans for 2016-2017, who'd be in, who'd be out, how they wanted to play. We're going to look at every position and have that sort of chat, but you feel as though the plan as to what Liverpool were going to do this season was, almost the season that we're currently in, 2016-2017, began in February 2016, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's slightly different for him at the moment, of course, because obviously last time I think he came in October, didn't he? And then, of course, you've got to build for that summer. Now, what they will have is, which we can all predict, which will be of great interest, is some of the targets that they built up in February and March, they obviously weren't able to get in the summer. So the interesting question will be, has something put them off since then? Have other clubs come to the table, which mean we can't get them deals over land? Because they're starting, you'd imagine, without ruining the agenda in terms of positions, the starting point might be Pulisic, Dahoud, players of this type that, I think we can confidently say we were interested in them. We've seen this before with Liverpool where, it always confused me a little bit where in January, say, we go for Conor Pianca and then on the 31st of May, we're not interested.
Yeah.
Now, I'm all for maybe making a signing that makes, maybe they don't, but this is just something to get us through 3 or 4 months and that's it. Or it's always of interest, I think, when you have a list of targets where they seem quite keen and then in a short space of time that goes. So I think that will influence this summer. And of course, they've had the whole season to analyse and assess what needs change in this squad. And then also from a wider pool of players, which players are now of interest to them. And obviously, as always, it's going to be heavily led by agents contacting the club in terms of which players have got itchy feet or 2 years left on a deal, 1 year left on a deal, etc.
It's a bit of a complex situation really, Ben, in that he's built for this season. We hadn't really seen much that you could call 4-3-3 around this time last year. Maybe you'd seen it once or twice in a game, and yet you've got to be of the view that it was what he was he must have had it in mind somewhere along the line, given how much of it we've seen now, and we've seen how fast a DC is in his planning and the way in which he treats his players almost as though they're on 12-month contracts. They've got his full commitment throughout a 12-month period, but then things could change, and it could change anywhere. I mean, do you think he'll be looking to change the way in which we play next season? I don't, but what do you think?
I don't think there'll be much change to the way we play. I think there'll be an upgrade in the options and a couple of the starting positions, but I would be surprised if there's a significant change from the style of football we've seen this year.
And even the shape. Because he's spoken in the past, he's not wedded to one shape, and yet this season, he said that to us in the summer when we were lucky enough to speak to him, but he said, don't think that's just going to play in this now, I'm going to keep playing this. But broadly speaking, he's pretty much just played this.
Yeah, he's played...
with tweaks, but...
Yeah, but he's pretty much played the same system. I think it's because it's been maybe more successful than what... certainly the first start of the season was maybe more successful than what he possibly envisaged, and maybe that's just cemented his opinion on this particular model and the way it's working in the league. I'd be interested to see if there's some kind of solution to the issue of teams defending deep against us, whether there's a thought process around that. But that might come simply from upgrading some of the options that he's got. You look at the forward line certainly, and I think at the start of the season, your thought process is okay, we're going to go with these four lads up front who Mane, Firmino, Coutinho, Lallana. They're going to interchange, but if that's not working so well, we're going to bring on Sturridge, who's one of the best in the league, and Origi, who was flying last year before he got injured. I think if there's one thing in his mind, it might be that them options off the bench haven't really amounted to very much. Whenever he's needed to press that button and bring them on, nothing's really happens. I'm not sure you can rely on them to change a game. Rigi, because he's struggling for form, and Sturridge, it's horrible, the Dan Sturridge thing, but Sturridge, just because he doesn't look like he fits in to how everybody else in the team plays.
We'll come on to discuss Sturridge more later on after 7 o'clock. We'll be doing that one in the second half of the show. Do you think he's going to change it?
His model, I mean, you know, formations and systems, you know, they're different with the ball, without the ball, and in transition anyway. And you know, we can get, you know, and this is me saying it, you can get hung up on formations, really. I think the main thing is that his model of playing isn't going to change in terms of just his style. I wonder from last year whether a lot of... We haven't seen Firmino out for a long period this year. And I wonder whether part of his decision to change was, I really like the options that I have when Firmino plays as a nine.
Yeah.
And I think he's looked at it. He's very much a back four kind of guy. And I think he's gone, the things that I can do with this team, with the five bodies that I've got with Firmino as a nine, really intrigues me. You know, if you think about it, Sturridge and Origi had a really strong, you know, second half to the season last year in their own ways. Origi up until he gets injured, and obviously Sturridge had a really, you know, he's very influential, especially in the Europa League run. But it's interesting that I think he's very much, he's backed Firmino. And he's also backed what he can then do with the rest of the team in doing that. We haven't, if Firmino was out for 2.5 months and it wasn't anyone else, it'd be interesting to see what he then does. Because also, he's been able to say, well, I can add a pace injection. I can cover Firmino's weakness of pace by having Mane. I'm not going to move Coutinho. And if I can be more robust in midfield, that's a benefit. I don't think he's looked at the Sevilla game in isolation, gone, I've got to change the world because we got, you know, decimated for half an hour, 40 minutes in one half of football. But I do think that he's probably had a few doubts about how strong we are in the middle of the pitch. And then in the Sevilla game, it's reinforced him to him, I need to tweak. But I think that's just a benefit from having Firmino there. So I think the interesting thing will be as well is how much is it dependent on what players become available. It doesn't mean he needs to change his style, and who's to say, but good number out and out nines are not easy to come across. And if one is available, there's an argument. If he's available and you think you can get him, do you just go and get him and then worry about how you frame your team around that a little bit later? Because that is a bit unique. I'm all for trying to get players that fit the system, but if you've got a number nine that you think will suit the Premier League and deliver, everyone is always looking for them, and if it doesn't work out, you're always going to get your money back. So that's the only fly in the ointment for me.
Okay, we'll come back to that. We'll come back to the midfield and attack in the start before 7 o'clock to talk about the goalkeepers and the defence. The goalkeepers first. What do you expect? What would you do, Ben, and what are you expecting him to do?
I would now not play Mignolet again. I would have
even despite his performance against Spurs.
Yeah. To be honest, I don't think anyone's learning anything from watching him play. I'm not learning anything. I've seen him have good spells as a Liverpool keeper, and I've seen him make glaring errors. And for me, I'm not convinced that his character is strong enough for him to warrant being backed. To be honest, so for me, I wouldn't play him again, and I'd get shut in the summer. And I would be looking to sign a keeper who starts, an elder keeper who's made his mistakes and learnt his craft on somebody else's time, and get someone who starts, and then you'd have carriers to continue developing underneath him.
Not interested in Danny Ward. Good season at Huddersfield.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know any.
He's playing every week for Huddersfield, the third in the league.
And he might bring him back in and have another look at him.
And it's his mate who's the manager there.
Exactly, so we'll know the ins and outs of him. But again, he's another young keeper who will almost certainly make mistakes, and I would rather have someone who's made the majority of the mistakes elsewhere and learnt the craft.
It's a bit like the number nine position, isn't it? In that, it's easy to sit here and say I'd want to have one of the best two goalkeepers in the league. Now, you can look at the teams at the top of the league. How many other clubs are in pretty much the same position as us? At some point, De Gea is going to go back to Spain. Arsenal, arguably, Cech looks like if there is a slide in Cech, he's had a bit of a adrenaline honeymoon.
He's not had a good 3 months, has he?
No, not at all. You look at Manchester City, it looks like I wouldn't be surprised if they're in the market as well. So you have to look at it and say, yes, of course, we'd love an upgrade in goal. Mm. Would I be happy if we could bring someone in who's absolutely definite, one of the best two keepers in this league next year? Yeah, of course, I would like that. I just wonder with Jurgen, you know, other people value the position of goalkeeper differently. Other people look at the budget and the wage structure a little bit differently there. Me, I would prioritise it myself. Whether Jurgen does is a different matter. And then flowing from that, it's interesting what he's saying to Karius right now, because one argument is that, you know, if I'm Karius, I'm probably going in after that Spurs team gets picked and going, when do I get a game now? Like, after you've seen what he's done recently, I've been working hard in training, how many wobbles does he have to have? Now the problem for Klopp is that he may be saying to Karius, look, Mignolet's here for this year, you'd want me to show loyalty to you. I did show some loyalty to you for as long as I felt that I could. I want to take you off the firing line and your next season's project, I just need to sit tight for now. Now he may have, you know what I mean, we might not be looking for one, we might not sign one on the basis he may believe that he can move Karius up to the next level and may feel that he doesn't need to throw him in right now. He may feel that, you know, Mignolet can just about do what he needs him to do. Who knows? I doubt it. He may think, I'm happy having them two next year. Mm. But me personally, I think we have to try and get, you know, a guaranteed top draw goalkeeper in. And I think if there is a money ball, maybe gap in the market, I think the centre halves and keepers are underestimated. I'm sure if you looked at the wage bill across Europe, that your forwards and your mercurial attacking talents are always the highest paid. I think that, you know, you start with a point in every game of football, you have a point to lose. So having a strong centre half and goalkeeper combination, if there's one area where FSG could maybe go, is the market quite right? And can Liverpool strengthen in that area? Arguably, it takes 8 years perhaps since we could say we had a strong goalkeeper and centre back triangle.
On to the centre halves in a minute. This is the Anfield Rap on Radio City Talk. Don't go anywhere. That's Primal Scream with Rocks. Back to Sean and Ben to talk about moving forward into the defence. And you mentioned in there, Sean, you think that, you know, what you'd do, you'd look at the... What do you think he'll do? You think that there could well be value to add a centre-half to compete with Matip and Lovren, I suspect, is what you're thinking, and look to get someone in there to say, right, this is where, a place where we can upgrade.
Yeah, I felt last year that we needed two. And it's interesting that when you look back to sort of February, March time last year, the vibes coming out the club were that Matip was going to be fourth choice. Now, obviously, that's before all the issues to do with Sacco cropped up. Now, with Colo Touré going, with the Sacco situation that you see at the end of the year, you're basically looking at Lovren, and that was all you had. So I felt that there was an argument to possibly get three, because you've got Skrtel leaving as well. So I think there's an argument to say, look, you have to buy two boss ones and someone for cover. Now, we were saying earlier in the season that for me, Clavan was a bit of a Glenn Hussein kind of Kavama type signing, where you'll get a honeymoon period out of him for a few months and you'll think, this guy's all right. This guy's pushing to play. But then what happens is the honeymoon period's over. He gets used to being, and you see the weaknesses in his game, which is why he's not playing at a top club elsewhere. Could you get another season out of him as fourth or fifth choice? I think possibly, to be honest. I think that Sacco, you've got to get rid of. I've seen a lot of pro Sacco fans, for want of a better word. And I think they're missing a trick there that, you know, we're a youth development club, whether we like that or not. We've got a lot of young players coming through, and we've got to develop players. And you've got someone around the workplace there that allegedly would appear from, and again, allegedly,
not to fit into the standards.
Whether he's complied with club rules or not, let's just say that what we can only assume that perhaps he hasn't, when you look at everything towards the end of last year. And certainly his behaviour was such on pre-season that for whatever reason the manager sent him home. So there's obviously, I think it's not as easy to say, well, look, he's a good player, so you let that go. You know, I think Jurgen's done the right thing. He's got to set the tone for that whole club as to how you conduct yourself as a Liverpool player. So Sacco's a goner. I think, you know, Matip, I think, has blown everyone away. I thought that he was a project to work on. I'm surprised we haven't seen, you know, look at his time at Schalke. He was either top draw or he had a few little problems. And we haven't seen that this year. He's done absolutely brilliant. He's number one centre-half. Whereas maybe a year ago, people would have gone, he's probably coming in as four. So I think Liverpool have, I think you can make an argument now that you get rid of Sacco, Lovren for me should be a second choice, so not in the top two centre halves that you'd have. And I think you have Lovren three and Clavan four. So I think we've, for me, I would like to see us spend big and say with Matip, with another centre half and with a keeper, there's the next 5 years boxed.
Yeah, I agree. I think we're certainly going to need one. I think Sacco's going to go. There's a good chance Lucas is going to go in the summer.
Say that every year. I think it will happen.
But I think he very nearly went in January. So I think there's a good chance he'll go when he's been playing. You know, he's played what 10,
more games.
More games than you thought.
We would have thought.
Yeah, exactly. In which case, you know, we've had a look at Joe Gomez, and he still looks like he needs a bit of time to get over his injury, and he probably needs a full pre-season. And then a goal to see his level.
I think he's got a loan written all over him. I don't know what you think. I think if he's got, as long as he plays centre half, at least he can make some mistakes on someone else's watch.
I think they've had a look at him in a couple of the cup games. I think he's I'm not saying he struggles, but I don't think he was as impressive as everybody thought he was going to be.
Or hoped. Well, he's got all the athletic ability though, hasn't he?
Yeah.
But you know yourself, like the reading of the game in that position, and not just where you're positioned, having the knowledge to position those around you.
Yeah.
You know, like, you could be the best centre-half ever, but if your mate and your right-back... Well, look at Tottenham the other day. You know, that's the perfect example, you know. You know, look at Idlewild. He's been one of the top-performing centre-halves for me this season. He was made to look bang average, but, you know, look at the car crash that he was having to work with him.
So, looking at the full-back positions, Ben, it's... On the right, Klein, with Alexander-Arnold underneath him. On the left, Milner, with Moreno underneath him. Would you make any changes there, and do you envisage there will be any?
I would certainly buy a left-back. I wouldn't bother with a right-back. I don't think you need one. But I'd certainly buy a left-back. Because you don't see... I don't see where Moreno is ever going to be able to be an option. Other than somebody who comes off the bench every now and again because he's quick, he's decent going forward, but there's no evidence to suggest that you can rely on him, I don't think, and there's no evidence for the manager to suggest that you can. So he's on record as saying he doesn't think he's going to buy a left back in the summer, but he's probably winding people up.
I wonder whether or not he might have a look at, he's almost looking at finding a way, Sean, to do another Milner. To find another lad who's got all the attributes that he wants to play left back, but this lad might at the minute not think he's a left back. That it wouldn't surprise me if he ends up either someone who's already at the club that we can't even think of, and because he wants the idea of someone. We've seen he's arguably moved Alexander Arnold's position, he's moved Milner's position. Whether or not there's someone he's already got his eye on, or whether or not there's someone he's got his eye on across European football, where he's thinking, well, you might not know this yet, son, but you might end up being a left back for Liverpool.
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, last year, it's interesting, he went goalie, centre-halves, centre midfielder, Mane. And that's where he spent most of his transfer budget. Now, although a lot of those signings hit it off, you could probably make an argument that he needs to go goalie, centre-half, centre midfielder, another Mane. Do you know what I mean? So where does he prioritise the left-back situation amongst all that? That's the bigger thing. I think if you said to him now, open budget, you know, you're not going to have to take your scouts off other campaigns, you've got endless amounts of scouts, would you go out and get a different left-back? I think he'd say, yeah. I think, like you, what he may do, he might look at a Clavan type. I mean, who knows, Moreno? You don't know how Moreno and Milner, Milner playing that position, his legs and everything else, and how Moreno feels about his lack of game time. So he's got to manage that. I wouldn't be surprised if he maybe looks at a Clavan type in that position and maybe goes, do you know what? I've got that much to do here. Can I get through another season, perhaps, with, if Moreno's head might burn out, could I keep Milner there? Because remember, we look at a season as a season. He may go, could Milner do August to Christmas and have a bedding in period for someone who's a bit of a backup? If Gomez is still on the books, do a look at that. Do a look at, do you know what? I've got Klein as an option at left back and Trent at right back. Do I want that for 3 months? No. One-off games, is that a big problem? I don't see how that's a big problem. I think if you're going to keep Trent and he's seen as maybe, he's got to be seen as a long-term replacement for Klein, then you've got to invest in that and give him some game time. And Klein is more than capable of doing a job at left, not the job we want at home to Hull, say, but in a one-off game, a couple of games, he's able to do that. So I agree exactly with what Ben said. I think he's spot on. What do I actually think will happen? I'd be amazed if we go out and buy a new creme de la creme left back. I think they might roll the dice a little and go, we get a cheap backup, and if he's better than we think, great.
Okay, this is the Anfield Wrap on Radio City Talk. That's the defence boxed off. After the break, we'll be dealing with the midfield and the attack. Welcome back to the Anfield Wrap on Radio City Talk. Moving into the midfield, and we're going to just do midfield and attack together because I do think there's a couple of links that are going to come up on this one, Sean. But to start with the base of the midfield, there is the question this season. You've seen it come up as to what we do when Jordan Henderson doesn't play. That it's looked like it's a difficult one for the manager to solve. The one thing he hasn't had a look at Wijnaldum there. But he hasn't really done much with Emre Can there other than in effectively a half and then 90 minutes of football. It isn't clear really, is it, what he wants to do with that position. You've seen Kev Stewart fill in and Lucas fill in. Kev Stewart a bit more, but both have looked like they haven't got it. What do you think he's going to do, and what would you be looking at?
Interesting question. I'd love to hear what you two guys think as well. I mean, I think that you could make a case for having Lallana in there, Wijnaldum in there. I'd be disappointed if we don't see more of Coutinho in there next year. You know, let's say Coutinho.
Where Henderson is, or do you mean in general?
Not where Henderson is. I'm more thinking that the two positions in front of Henderson for me are boxed off. In that, if you wanted to make an argument, you could say you got Wijnaldum with Can as backup, and then you got Lallana with Coutinho as backup, for want of a better word.
Competition.
Yeah, and I think in some games you could play Lallana and Coutinho. I mean, if we're at home to Hull, is there any problem with having a good ball player behind Coutinho and Lallana? If I was them, I don't want to see Coutinho and Lallana getting on the ball, feeding a three in front. What we don't know is whether, and it'll be interesting to see during the course of this season and next, does he change how he plays against the bottom 10? Because if there's one thing he's going to take out of it, is that is where we have a problem. The template we've got of Firmino up top and a 4-3-3 against the big teams, if you want to call it that, is working. All of them will say, we hate playing against that. He speaks to the bottom, you know, you look at the bottom 10, I wonder whether he might go to a 4-4-2 or just change something a little bit. And again, that'll influence his knee, because if he's only going to be playing two in there for half the season, he may feel that he's got enough numbers in the midfield. I think if he plays a three-man midfield, he may go, I need a different, either an alternative to Henderson for a game-by-game, factor in hopefully the Champions League and things like this.
This is the
key
thing.
Do I need someone who's maybe an out-and-out defensive midfield player, if there is such a thing nowadays, or just someone a different type who can still play that
position?
He's
never been linked with one, has he?
And I don't think he's ever really played one. I think he likes all-round midfield players. And if you look at his Dortmund teams, they were all-rounders, and he's a massive fan of Saki. Saki didn't play holding midfield plays. He just wanted good footballers in there that could do a bit of everything. And then you look at Henderson, he fits that mould. He can do a bit of everything. You look at Wijnaldum, he can do a bit of everything. Lallana to a lesser extent. I think you'll see a better Wijnaldum next year, because I just think he'll be a bit more comfortable. He hasn't got the price tag. He's not settling in. I'll be stunned if you don't see more goals from him next season. I think that if he is going to do something, I think he could get away with it if he was going to play two a little bit more. I think you will see him by like a bit more of a ball player. You know, they were obviously looking at Dahoud for a reason. I suspect whether that's changed, I would imagine last year they have probably gone, look, we're okay leaving you there for a year, you're in the Champions League, get some more experience, we'll take you next year. You know, that's a dangerous thing to do, because you'll get other clubs sniffing, but I suspect that's probably what Liverpool thought last year. So Dahoud fits that kind of a mould, doesn't he, in terms of that, not Alonso-esque, but he's a good technical player, good ball player. He's not a runner or a goal scorer from there, or an out and out like destroyer type. So I think you might find him trying, he may have a little look at that.
I think I agree with Sean. The positions in front of Henderson, I think they're all thereabouts sorted. I think it's what he does with Henderson. I wouldn't be surprised. Obviously, Lucas is going to go, so that option's gone. I think you might see Kev Stewart going in the summer for a fair amount of money coming in. You know, they've turned down £6 million bids, and Klopp values him at £12 million or something. And I don't think he'll be a million miles away from getting that. And I think what you might see is somebody, an upgrade on him, basically, who is young enough maybe to be happy not to play every week. Because I think the issue around, if he doesn't change his way of playing, is Henderson's going to play that role pretty much when he's fit. So unless that this person can come and play in front as well. If you want to buy one, you need someone who can either do the two roles in front and Henderson's job, or you just get an upgrade on Stewart, who's happy to come in and learn his trade a little bit and learn, settle in and sort of learn how to play it and improve on Stewart's ability, because he's all right. He's all right, but he's not quite good enough on the ball.
What do you do now?
Well, Chan's got 18 months left, and I think that becomes this becomes a runner and rider in this one. In that, if Chan won't sign a contract, then it wouldn't surprise me if Chan goes, and then it wouldn't surprise me if Liverpool, maybe if they were looking for someone who's a bit more, as Ben's just described, an upgrade on Stewart, actually think to themselves, do you know what we want? We want one more lad in there who competes for Henderson's position and the position in front. And also, whilst I think this season he's very much into Henderson, plays that position, learns that position, it wouldn't surprise me if next season he thinks, well, he's played it and he's learnt it. So every now and again I can think, well, I'll play him in front.
Yeah.
I can liberate that a little bit. I can play him in front. I can use his energy there, his ability to put a certain type of ball in, a dynamic diagonal ball in, and I can do that a little bit. And it wouldn't surprise me if but I think that a lot of this comes down to Chan. I think if Chan signs a new deal, then maybe they'll think, you know what, we're looking to add one. And but if he's going to go, it wouldn't surprise me to think, you know what, we're looking to add one, but we want it to be someone who's going to come in and we're going to play basically from the six that you've mentioned: Lallana, Coutinho, Ronaldo, Henderson, and then one more belter. And we say, right, that's what we're going to do. We're going to pick three from those five every week. That's what I think will happen if Chan goes. I think it's a little different if Chan signs a new deal. That's my one on that one. But I think we're in agreement here, and it's interesting that we haven't seen that much of it. That, for instance, I think we're all, well, I know, I think you and I are showing, we've spoken on shows, so I'll go to you first, Ben. That, for instance, we're now in a situation where Coutinho hasn't scored in 11. It's been 11 since Coutinho scored a goal. And that if you're playing a front three, for me, you know, you're not convinced necessarily gets the numbers. I saw a great thing put by Dan Kenner today, which is that non-penalty goals per 90, Lukaku and Mane are level. Hmm. Which tells you that Mane is delivering a level of numbers there that you want. And I just sort of think that one of the reasons why I looked to move Coutinho deeper and have him compete for those midfield positions, certainly if you're playing two games a week, if you've got Porto away on Wednesday and Burnley at home on Saturday morning, the idea that you can chop and change is massive. And the next part of me then becomes, well, do you want to go and get an attacker? Do you want to go and get someone who's going to play off the other flank to Mane, who's either like Mane or he's more of a converted centre forward who goes and does that? And that's where I think this is where, in terms of the front six, this is where the whole summer hinges. Because then if you can't get that player, he might just persevere with Coutinho, and then we might be talking about another bigger midfielder. Do you know what I mean? I think that this is where Chum was saying before about you've got, it's seeing who's available, and I think it's here, right in this slot. Not the idea of someone who backs Mane up, but the idea of going and getting another lad who's 35, 40 million, who's all singing, all dancing, and who's going to come in and whose job is going to be do that. That's what I'd look to do, and that's what I hope they're thinking of doing.
I think from the stuff coming out the club, you know, apparently linked with Draxler, apparently linked with another young German winger. And
does Branton pull a sitch?
They're putting it off until the summer. He's got a release clause, so you'd start to think that he's looking for one more, option.
Wouldn't you look for two more?
I think what he's looking for is one more option on the centre forward. I think he's going to.
Do you think he wants a centre forward?
I think he either wants a centre forward and a nine. As Sean said, it's all about what's available, or somebody else who can do what Firmino's doing.
I think his hand will be forced, myself. I mean, like we were saying before, you know, if Barcelona buy Coutinho, he only plays in one place, and that's Iniesta's position.
Yeah.
He does not play in a front three if he moves to, as and when he moves to a Barcelona. If he moves to Real Madrid, he doesn't play in the front forward positions for the exact reason that is, forget anything else, his skill set is such that you play him in the middle of the back with the right levels of protection in and around him, and you want him feeding them lads up there, because he's got an amazing, his best part of his game is the way that he supplies runners and bodies in front of him. He's just such a good player that you even love the way he runs with the ball, and the way his shooting's, you know, a bit inconsistent, shall we say, but he's got the ability to score some wonderful goals. But he's not going to deliver.
There's nothing that he can't do that he's not currently doing from the middle of the park.
100%.
That's the issue.
You know, in a weird way, you might actually get a better goal return from the kid because he's making runs in the central of the pitch. He's not as easy to track. He's got a bit more ability to go one way or the other. When Coutinho gets the ball, he's only going one way, really, isn't he? You know, he's cutting in on that right foot. It's a bit easier to defend against. I think. I really like Daniel Sturridge. I don't see a way he stays at this football club in the summer myself. Now he's then got a decision to make. Ings is on a massive recovery mission there. He may say, do you know what, get me. You look at it, you know, we've been linked with Pulisic, we've been linked with Brandt. There's agents all over, you know, a couple of similar type players at Monaco and Athletic Bilbao at the moment that look like making big moves in the summer. We were, obviously, it seems that we were interested in Draxler as well. It looks that we are looking for another Mane 100% to play in that kind of a role. If you've got Firmino and Origi, what do? You go, do you know what? I'm going to play 4-3-3. I'm all right with Firmino and Origi. Or do you go, I'll get a third choice striker just in case I'm in the middle of a crisis there? Or is that a look at that in January kind of? Do you know what I mean? It's a difficult one for him. In an ideal world, I think you'd sign a different type of striker to what we've got. I think that, you know, there's a reason why you see, you know, you look at Costa, you look at Kane, you look at Ibrahimovic. I think if Liverpool could buy a striker who's got numbers and has that sort of physical presence, but with the touch and the ability to bring people into play, whether that's off the bench or for certain games, or even seasonal, to be honest, when it just gets a bit down and dirty, yeah. I think we need that. I think when we've seen Liverpool at the best, really, Rafa and Hulé have had 3-4 strikers of different options to use, and I like that.
More on this after this. Boston, more than a feeling. No hints there. Neil Atkinson, Sean Rogers and Ben Johnson with you until 7:30. And we're talking about now what we do up front. And we were just actually talking whilst that song was playing. And one of the conversations we were having was, you know, Sean said, what would you do? And I, what I'd look to do is I'd almost look to go, right, solve what your big one is, who's going to come in and play on the left. Now, it might be that you decide that you're happy to take a chance on, for instance, one of the young lads that's knocking around, whether it's Inaki Williams, whether it's Mbappe, whether it's, you know, you want to throw another name out there. There's Brandt, there's Pulisic, all these lads are knocking around. But I'd be looking at getting someone who you feel confident can score goals from that position at the rate that Mane scores. So Mane matches Lukaku, you want another one of them, and yeah, then that frees your Firmino up. And I'd look to get one of them. I'd then look to get someone who covers these lads and is a young lad looking to develop, a la Julian Brandt. And I'd also look to add, dependent on what the club feels about Origi, I'd look to be adding a genuine physical option to have that to call on from the bench, to not put the pressure on it like it's a Benteke and not sign a Ricky Lambert. I'd be looking to get someone you get to bring in who people aren't going to, there's not going to be this clamour, what are you going to do with him if you leave him on the bench? Because that's one of the realities. And I think, yeah, Sean, actually on this, I think this is one of the realities that both Liverpool supporters have got to get used to, but the club's got to find a way to go, we might buy someone for 30 million quid and then not play him very much for the first sort of 3 months, because that's what big teams do, that's what top clubs do. Like Batshuayi's barely had a kick for Chelsea and no one cares, no one talks about it. You know, you look at Ferguson's treatment of Berbatov, where he'd be in and out, he'd have a run of games and he'd look phenomenal and then he'd just disappear. You know, you go right the way through what big teams have done with attacking positions, is that Sane started the season, doesn't get near it, and now he looks as though he's going to start.
And with ourselves, Morientes, yeah, you can cite, if you go back to Julio's time, you know, you've got the whole Heskio and Farn, then Lippmanen.
And then Lippmanen, you know, and then Anelka. That, yeah, it's all right to have these lads and have them on the bench, but that's what I look to do.
Well, that's how you strengthen your squad at forward lines, I think.
You need to have the changes, because lads, these are the lads who are going to get injured, these are the lads who are going to get tired, these are the lads who are going to struggle to do it away at Porto on Wednesday night and then come back and do it at first thing on Saturday morning at home to Burnley. So you need to be able to say, we're going to make four changes, and the four changes are going to be in the front six positions.
Yeah, I think it's important that people recognise that two other things is that, one, Mane, look at what happened to us when we didn't have him. So signing someone who can play on the left, but also if Mane or him aren't available, you've got your ready-made replacement there, or it might be on the opposite flank or whatever you want to do, that's fine. The other thing is, you know, for any, you do a finishing session at the start of a training session and then put players through the mixer and then do it at the end instead, you notice a massive difference. And it is sharpness, it's not about the tiredness and the fitness. You only have to have the edge taken off at that level of sport by a percent or two, and it is a massive difference. So we are going to be in some form of European competition next year, we are going to have to rotate. So I do think that I'd be amazed if Liverpool do it, but what I do agree with, we need numbers in terms of goals, but I think we need bodies that are good enough as well, because the success of us next year will depend a lot on having the right forwards who are able to deal with them 2 and 3 games a week. I think you look at the bodies we've got in the midfield, the legs, their ages, their ability, I'm comfortable there.
You know, maybe one more like we were discussing before. But yeah, I think up top you're right. I think, you know, Naki Williams looks really exciting. We discussed him before. You've got to see a huge increase in numbers in him. But you do see that, and that's where it's difficult. You know, you get some people like Suarez who maybe in other leagues are delivering huge numbers, but you see a lot of players who don't deliver them numbers, then all of a sudden start to deliver those numbers, you know. And there's loads of references we could give to that. Mbappe at Monaco looks absolutely electric. You know, if you're a club like Liverpool, you can't allow them to have another year or make a slight move, because I think then the problem you've got is the superpowers grab them. And I think that's where Liverpool have got to take a couple of risks. And if you're going to take risks, you need to sign two.
I think I agree. I think in terms of Liverpool's approach, it was the lad who went from he went to Dortmund,
Dembele. And we were interested in
him. We were interested in having conversations.
The manager talked to him.
I think there's a clear strategy say we need to, if there's somebody who looks like he's going to be the next big thing, we need to get him before anybody else does. We're a little bit late on that occasion. So I think there probably will be some of that going on. I think Origi's quite key in this as well. And I think the opinions are on him in terms of what he's going to give you, because He's a bit of a funny player in that he's a physical centre forward, but he's not very physical, and he's a physical centre forward. He's not very good in the air. Sometimes he's good in the air, but he lacks a presence.
If you wanted me to compromise on what I've just said, that I get two and I get one belter to play left, you know, like someone, I was having a tweet thing on this the other night, and someone mentioned Morata from Real, who can't get a regular game there, has played off the left in the past, wants to be a centre forward, is 6'2". You know, the idea of him, I'm not necessarily against, I think it's a nice sort of idea. If you were to say to me, Neil, we're going to get you your belter, we're going to get you the lad who backs up, but we're not going to necessarily be able to get you the lad who backs up Mane, what are you going to do with Origi? But we can get you a physical centre forward who can alternate with Firmino as well. I wouldn't have a problem with saying, well, let's just try Origi off the left. Let's just commit to Origi off the left behind me superstar lad off the left, and say, regardless of what happens, Liverpool are going to play a centre forward off the left, and then they're going to have all of Firmino's movements, and if they feel as though they need to change it, there's going to be there's talk of a physical centre forward option.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting with Klopp that, I mean, certainly German media and the vibe, I didn't see so much of it in England about Dembele, but certainly the talk in Germany was that Dortmund had done really well because, you know, Liverpool offered more money, they offered more fees, they offered more signing on fees. It seems like the club and Jurgen, you know, Jurgen's really pushed out to go and get him. Now, we didn't have a plan B to that. So that's why I'm interested in the number nine position is, did Jurgen go, this guy is that good, we have to do everything possible to go and get this guy, and if we don't, well, there isn't another one. That's why we're pushing the boat out, because this is the guy to go and get. It'll be interesting. Like, if you said to me, we get an absolute, you know, a Mane version on the left, and we go and get Llorente.
Yeah.
And we lose Sturridge, I'd be quite relaxed with that. Because actually, if you said to me, could you get half a season at Llorente? No. But skillful, physical presence, suited to England. I could see, especially across the Christmas break, I think he'd be fantastic. You have to go a bit more direct. You know, you have an injury crisis or anything where you just have to dog out a few games. I think you could get away with not having to go and get a £35 million striker. If you're going to have that third choice, I think it'll be very interesting to see what he does. I think unless one pops out, he may say Firmino and Origi, I'm happy with. It'll be interesting to see what kind of, he's definitely going to buy another wide man or a forward that can play wide. I think he's going to have to get a forward, and it's just going to be really interesting whether it's top of the market or someone to fulfill a role.
Someone like Llorente is, you know, it's a shout, Ben. You know, I think that's a shout if you say, right, he's not going to cost us an absolute mad fortune, but he'll cost a couple of bob, but we'll cop for that, we'll accept that, because we want to get in two young lads, one of whom we're pretty committed to, another one we think he can offer the pace that we miss if Mane doesn't play. You know, that we go, right, well, that's fine, that's what we'll do, we'll just compromise on that, and we'll do that, and we'll have these six lads who play in attack, plus Origi, and that's it. That's us boxed. We take that and we walk away, and we say, right, we've got these lads here, we know that we're going to play four of this six, we can put Coutinho up left if we feel as though we need to. We don't want to be making tons and tons of changes every week. That's not what it's been about. It's about playing rhythm. But we feel as though we're picking, if we include Lallana / Coutinho, wherever they are in midfield, it's four from this seven most weeks. Bang, that's it. And we'll make three changes between this game and this game. Three changes between this game and this game. You'll get this Champions League game, but that means that he gets Man United away on the Sunday. That, for me, that's what that's the situation I want the club to be in.
I think we're where the club needs to be and what the probably thing. One of the issues mentioned it before is that there needs to be an option for when someone isn't available. And at the minute,
but for when two people aren't available,
you've got to have two
to come in if two aren't available.
But at the minute, when one of them front four doesn't play up front, well, it absolutely reduces our effectiveness by 20-30% as an attacking unit. And regardless of what you think of Sturridge, I really love him, but he's not producing any numbers of any note at all whenever he gets a game, and he doesn't look like he fits into this. He just doesn't look like
imagine Firmino and Mane were ruled out for a month together. We could do a whole show on what we do, and we can't be in that position next year.
Exactly. Yeah. It's too critical, because it will happen. You can't pin your all hopes on, oh well, if we just keep everyone fit, we'll be sad. Well, if we'd have kept everyone fit and available, man, it wasn't African Nations, we might well have won the league this year. But we never, and so we're not going to. Or we might do, but we're probably not going to. We might do, but that's a separate issue. But do you know what I mean? So next year there's got to be options.
But if you have six intense group games in the Champions League, we won't be seeded very high up. We want to compete if we finish in the Champions League places. Plus the idea, then you get to a last 16, which is even more intense. Then you've got a quarter final on the cards, and guess what? You've got a 6-pointer away at Chelsea. That's fallen either side of that decide of your quarter final game, and you've got to be able to produce over and over again, because that's what we want to be doing.
Yeah, that's it. And I think
it's all right to compromise in a couple of little places, but not across the board.
I think it'll be a case of buying in strength up in the attacking positions.
It'll be interesting. Sorry, but I was just going to say it'll be interesting to see whether he goes, do you know what, this summer I'm boxing this off, and maybe we might have to have some patience for a year. You know, he might say, look, I can't make this gamble because it's so hard to do. But do we next year go, lads, I've just got to get the forwards right, and we've got to qualify for the Champions League again, hopefully get into the Champions League and enjoy it as well, and go as far as we can in that, and then the following summer is the final pieces of the jigsaw potentially for me then. And if I need to spend big on the centre half and another midfielder and a left back, then we do that. You know what I mean? This summer we've tried to do a bit of everything because we had to, because of the level of surgery that was needed. He's not willing to compromise at all, and who knows what's right and what's wrong. You can make an argument that the right, we wouldn't have won the league potentially without making Ronnie Rosenthal as a signing. So, I'm sort of on that side, but I quite like the fact as well that you've got a manager who goes, well, if we don't get him or him, that's it. We wait till the next time we get the right one in. But that means you have to play a longer game. You have to be patient.
It's been the Anfield Wrap. Huge thanks to Sean Rogers and Ben Johnson. Let us know what you think at the Anfield Wrap on the Twitter. You know where we are on the Facebook as well. And £5 a month if you'd like to subscribe. See you soon.
Podcast Network.